Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Wednesday, October 26, 2016. I am Jason Powell. On the site today, John Moore's recap of the Talking Smack show, my full-length review of WWE Raw, and coming up on Thursday, we will have coverage of the WWE conference call that Vince McMahon and George Berrios will be hosting to discuss the third quarter financial report. And coming up after the break for non-members, I will be discussing last night's WWE SmackDown live television show. WWE SmackDown was live from Green Bay, Wisconsin at Resch Center. The show was headlined by Dean Ambrose facing AJ Styles. The idea was that if Styles lost the match, then Dean Ambrose would become number one contender. However, James Ellsworth struck. He ended up getting Dean Ambrose disqualified. Now, the idea is that he did so because he got so worked up with what AJ Styles was doing. No sign of a heel turn. Could be like step one toward that if they want to go there with James Ellsworth, but I didn't get the feeling that was happening. I was worried when they kind of were having Ellsworth make a big deal out of wanting to be in Dean's corner so badly. The idea of Ambrose not becoming the number one contender here, it was a little bit surprising, but I mean, it's something we've been talking about. They don't have another pay-per-view for a while. They're filling some time here. All they can do is kind of build to certain things in Survivor Series. They may have a match or two on that show in addition. I mean, we know it's going to be Goldberg and Lesnar on top. And then we know there's those three Survivor Series matches. And I don't know how many slots are going to be made available for singles matches on that show. So, and with two brands, I mean, there's just maybe SmackDown gets one and Raw gets one singles match if there is a time for those. I'm just not sure. So they really have a lot of television time to fill without a regular pay-per-view to build toward. Other than, you know, the one coming up in December after Survivor Series. And so they still have time to get back to Ambrose becoming number one contender if that's what they choose to do. But we'll definitely work our way through the show and be talking about Randy Orton. Coming up here in just a moment, we'll be talking about Orton attacking Kane, of all people. But I do want to tell you guys that coming up on Thursday, coming out of that WWE conference call, Jake Barnett and I are going to be getting together for the .NET Weekly audio show. I had somebody ask me recently, hey, what happened to your SmackDown audio reviews, like this one, basically? And the answer is, they're available for members each and every week at ProWrestling.net. Sometimes they are here on the All Access side. But for instance, you guys hear Zach Zimmerman's NXT audio reviews sometimes on the All Access side. The members hear them each and every week. Same with all of our television show reviews. Raw, SmackDown, Zach's NXT review, John Moore's Lucha Underground review. The list goes on and on. Hayden Gleed, Darren Gutteridge getting together for the Ring of Honor television audio reviews on a weekly basis as well. And also, all the major pay-per-view shows reviewed in audio form. So a ton of audio out there. The .NET Weekly Show is our flagship show. Jake Barnett and I will be discussing the conference call. Of course, the TNA developments and what a crazy week it's been for that so far. And then also the news of the new app that Flow Sports, kind of getting into the streaming game. Picking up all of the Evolved events and I guess just all of the WWN live events. We talked a little bit about it on Monday. Obviously, we know more details about it. We found out more details about it since then, so we'll be discussing that. All the news of the week in the .NET Weekly audio show. If you were interested in membership, visit the main page at ProWrestling.net. Once you're there, you'll see the subscription area. Three different pricing options available. $7.50 gets you in the door for 1 month. You can trim some off of that price by taking advantage of the six-month membership. You can bring that price down to an average of $5.50 if you take our annual membership. As always, if you have any questions, hit me up on Twitter at ProWrestlingNet. Now back to SmackDown, we opened things up with kind of a recap video. Then we had Dean Ambrose talking to a crew member, and that's when James Ellsworth was just pleading with him to let him be in his corner to kind of repay him for the help he's given him and getting two wins over AJ Styles. And Ambrose basically blew him off, saying that they'd have to hang out later and catch up, that sort of a thing. And there were boos from the live crowd. I'm like, what a strange way to start your show, getting your top babyface who's facing the champion, the heel champion, booed. He made up for it later, but it was still kind of just an awkward moment. And then we went, the broadcast team as usual, Martin Rinaldo, JBL, David Otunga. Bray Wyatt came out, then Kane made his entrance, and we got that match. It was an ODQ match. It was Bray Wyatt pinning Kane in 10:40. The interesting part is how they got there. It was pretty routine stuff. Luke Harper wasn't there, but then the lights went out. They did the Wyatt video flash. When they came back on, he was standing on a table at ringside that Kane was preparing to choke slam Bray Wyatt through. And so he got the better of Kane. Second time he did, Randy Orton's music hits, or at least he came out. And so he comes down, and then he just stares at Harper, who backs off. And then Kane sets up for a chokeslam on Bray Wyatt, who was down on the mat at this point. Randy Orton strikes the Viper's pose. And then Orton just hits the RKO on Kane, truly out of nowhere. And Bray Wyatt had sold this as if he was as surprised as anyone. And then he did get the pin on Kane. So Randy Orton giving the RKO to Kane. I don't think they're turning Randy Orton. He did say, and we'll get to it later in the show, his explanation was essentially that if you can't beat him, join him. I don't see Randy Orton being a regular member of the Wyatt family. I just don't. I joked about it. It's like, it's a guy who just started wearing pants, and now he's going to wear Wyatt family overalls or something. I just don't think this is going to last much longer than Daniel Bryan's run with the Wyatt family did. I'm guessing this is all part of the mind games. And the idea, if you can't beat them, join them. Everyone beats the Wyatts. You can beat them. You don't need to join them for that. Backstage, Charlie Caruso, or was it Andrea DeMarco? I can't tell the two apart. I finally know which Uso is which Uso. I don't know the difference between those two. If somebody can help me out, let me know. One of them interviewed AJ Styles, who talked about how he couldn't get Ellsworth out of his head, and he said he looks like someone took a WWE action figure and melted it in the microwave. And then he just talked about how he's going to rearrange Ambrose's face, and he'd wish he looked like Ellsworth by the time he was done with him. And he said if he sees Ellsworth, he'll be missing more than his chin if he sees him. That's what it was. Then we had the broadcast team hyping the return of Becky Lynch. They went to a commercial. When they came back, Renee Young stood in the ring and interviewed Becky Lynch. Well, briefly, because Becky didn't get to say a whole lot. Alexa Bliss came out, interrupted, called Renee Young Katie Couric and dismissed her. And then there was a brief Becky chant. And Lynch, she talked about how she was rushed to the hospital and doctors wouldn't let her leave, let alone compete. And she apologized for the title match that they were supposed to have being postponed. And Bliss called her a world-class con artist and actually brought up a back surgery before Becky gave that explanation, and Becky just kind of was like, what are you talking about? So I don't know if they're going to play up that there's some mystery medical thing or if this was all we get from this. I'm guessing this is all we get. And this was whatever Lynch's medical issue was, they kept it quiet. And I guess she has that right. And I don't think there's some big cover-up or anything. I guess she just wanted to keep it quiet. We'll see if it works its way into the storyline of Bliss goes after that more, or if it's just kind of one and done. But Bliss ended up going for a sucker punch. Lynch blocked that, and then ended up hitting Alexa. And they went to ringside, but Bliss got the better of the brawl. And back inside the ring, she performed a DDT and then just stepped on Becky Lynch as she walked over her. She went to the timekeeper's area and grabbed a can of spray paint and then painted a yellow line down the back of Becky Lynch. And she did mention something about that early in the promo. It just seemed like such a throwaway line that I didn't really think much of it. And then she did this, and I'm like, oh, I guess that mattered. I don't know. I mean, it's kind of an old, pro wrestling, it's not the first time there's been someone painting a yellow streak down the back of an opponent. She's wearing clothing, and, I mean, it's just like, okay, you wrecked her shirt, and he wrecked your pants. Big deal. I know it's supposed to be symbolic, but it didn't mean much. I still like the segment despite that. I think Alexa seems to be growing more comfortable on the mic. She doesn't seem to be thinking as much about her lines. She just seems to be going out there and doing a better job. And Becky is always fun. I think she's just a really good baby face. And if nothing else, you have to like that they're building up to this title match. The long wait. They had Naomi beat Alexa, but then Alexa got that win back, and now we're kind of back on track, and hopefully they don't feel the need to go even Steven with this and show next week that, well, Becky Lynch is beating up Alexa Bliss to get one back on her. Just put some heat on the heel going into this. You're not that far off now from their big match in Glasgow when the Women's Championship will be on the line. Coming out of the commercial break, we got the Hype Bros beating the Ascension in 350 to earn a spot on the SmackDown Survivor Series tag team. Yes, they're having qualifying matches for this. I don't know if this will be the only one, considering that, really, I think there's, six teams in the division? I don't know how you're going to fill this out. They're going to have some squash matches or something, or maybe add, I know Booker T on the pre-show started talking about Bray Wyatt and one of his family members perhaps being a tag team at Survivor Series. Maybe that's where they're going with this whole Randy Orton thing. It's just a temporary thing, and then Randy's going to snap out of it and attack Bray at the Survivor Series or something like that. I have no idea. But, it's just weird that they're having qualifying matches for this, which is like, How about you just don't pick one team and you'll be fine? But yeah, the Hype Bros are in, the Ascension are out, and this comes after the Ascension told us that at their Survivor Series, they will rise. They will not be rising at Survivor Series. By the way, they did play up Mojo Rawley's past with the Green Bay Packers. He wore a Packers hat to the ring. He wore Packers Zubas during the match, like Zuba shorts, and the crowd was into it. It was good for one brief Go Pack Go chant. So the Green Bay fans getting into Mojo Rawley. I guess make it work. We did not get Curtis Axel running out. I thought we might get Curtis Axel, who the night before was playing on the Viking theme, wearing the Skull Viking or Skull Axel Skull shirt and leading the crowd in the Viking chant. Yeah, not so much. So we could have had Packer versus Viking here, but I'm happy we didn't because, well, in Green Bay, my team would have lost. They usually lose in Green Bay, so I guess I should be used to that, unfortunately. But hey, at least we won at home this year. And we did win there last year. We'll see what happens. From there, we got the broadcast team hype in the main event. We got a commercial break. And then coming out of the break, we ended up seeing these weird trophies that were, I don't know, they looked like they were football trophies. As a Viking fan, I'm not quite sure what those were. I know we don't have any here. Something about Lombardi or something like that. Anyhow, backstage, Caruso, or was it DeMarco, asked Randy Orton to comment on what happened. If you can't beat him, join him, he said after a lengthy pause, and that was it. So I guess, I think it's just more mind games, and maybe they're just figuring out that straightforward Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt doesn't have anything to it. They need to do something to kind of, if they're going to keep going with these two, they need to add something to it to keep things fresh and interesting, and I think that's all it is. And like I say, maybe that is the plan. Maybe Booker, I think it was Booker on the pre-show, kind of was foreshadowing there when he talked about Bray and one of his family members forming a tag team or something like that. It'd be one way to do it, but they could just as easily end up being singles wrestlers on the SmackDown side, too. Then we ended up with some hype for the Talking Smack show, which you can check out John Moore's recap. In the interest of full disclosure, I'm actually recording this on Tuesday, so if, like, I don't know, John, like, had his hand smashed in a horrible, like, farming accident or something, and the Talking Smack recap isn't up, now you know why. Well, you don't know why it's not up. It could be a number of things, but now you know why I'm hyping it, and it's not there. Hopefully it'll be there. It always is. John's very, very reliable with these things. Backstage, we had Daniel Bryan on the telephone. When Natalya entered the room, she did not start reciting Whitney Houston lyrics. She wanted to be the captain of the women's team at SmackDown 4, or at Survivor Series 4 SmackDown, and Bryan booked her in a match against Nikki Bella. The winner of the match would captain the team, but the loser won't be on the team. Gee, who's going to win that one? And then it's like I'm sitting there going, why is Nikki the captain of this team? Don't you have a women's champion? Shouldn't she be the captain? Doesn't that seem like it's only fair? And it's not like, I don't know, maybe this will be something that Becky plays on whenever she gets into a program with Nikki, but it just seemed very odd to me. And then the third match was Captain Nikki defeating Natalya. I know you're stunned. I hope you're sitting down. In 6:45 to become the captain of Team SmackDown at Survivor Series, she used the STF. So now that they've let the cat out of the bag on television, on regular television, regular WWE programming, that she is with John Cena in real life, she can safely use the STF. And I did get a huge kick out of Daniel Bryan breaking it down on SmackDown to point out that this is the evolution of the move. He talked about how she hooked her hands together, hooked her fingers, and was it basically implying that, yeah, kind of like Steve Austin said, with, you know, see, he obviously didn't go here. He was just praising Nikki Bella as a use of the move. This was basically Daniel Bryan's way of endorsing what Steve Austin had to say about John Cena's version of the STF. And so I don't know if this is just a little friendly needling that Daniel Bryan is giving. Who knows? But Daniel Bryan's still a blast to watch on Talking Smack. And just some of the booking comments that are clearly directed at Vince McMahon. You know, just him just going over Daniel Bryan's time. Why not go 6 hours with a Survivor, with Hell in a Cell and have like five or six Hell in a Cell matches? Good stuff. Again, check John's recap. I've never plugged John's recap of Talking Smack more. Watch this be the week where he's like, hey, man, I'm kind of caught in a pinch right now and I can't deliver. Anyway, we get to this. This is now we're in the second hour of the show. And so after Nikki's match, we ended up with, well, go figure, Carmella attacking her and putting her down with the Bella Buster. All these years, I'm like, they've used a face buster. Really, they've called it the Bella Buster all along? Have I really zoned out the broadcast team unintentionally that much that I had no idea this move was the Bella Buster? You know who will know? Will Pruitt, who's back Monday. He'll be doing his thing. Back. I know he's watching Hell in a Cell, and the plan is for him to return after taking a month away. So if you've been wondering, hey, where the hell's that WillPruittGuy.net? Hey, that WillPruittGuy.net will be back on .net on Monday, and he will know. But I'm surprised I haven't been scolded yet. Maybe he hasn't had a chance to read my SmackDown Live review. And as I did note in my live review, by the way, if you're a Natalya fan, look on the bright side that at least we don't have to see a Hart getting screwed at Survivor Series for a change. There's that. So she's out of the match. She's out of Survivor Series. There's no chance for a screw job here, is there? Backstage, Caruso DeMarco interviewed Ambrose, who said he had fun messing with AJ Styles over the last 2 weeks, but tonight is about becoming number one contender. Then they did show us a shot of Miz and, well, I guess his posse. And then after the break, they came to the ring, and Miz ended up talking about how Pat Patterson was in Montreal with a tear running down his cheek because of him being without the championship and being in a world where he's been without it for 16 days and Dolph Ziggler holds it. Ziggler comes out, says he's a fighting champion, and offered Miz a rematch on the spot. Fans got super into this. They're chanting yes, and I'm just like, it ain't going to happen. Miz is dressed in a suit. I mean, they're not going to have the immediate rematch while wearing a suit. You guys, haven't you people watched wrestling before? I mean, I know you're Packer fans, but wise the hell up. You'd think there'd be a Viking fan or two in the mix who'd be like, calm down, people. Hey, I took a jab at us earlier. I can do that, Packer fans. Just calm down. Heath Slater and Rhino then made their entrance because they came out when Miz and his group of, you know, Spirit Squad was ready to go 3-on-1 against Dolph. So they come out to even the sides, and Miz puts him on the spot. And after they kind of had mocked him for trying to get out of or not taking his title shot right away, he turned the tables on him and offered them. He said that Spirit Squad wanted a title match. Heath Slater kind of tiptoed around this, and this was not a good night for Heath Slater on the mic. He was better on Talking Smack, but as far as, like, his promo on SmackDown, it's like, what is he talking about? He's, like, yelling burn and double burn, and it just wasn't very funny. But anyway, Rhino stepped up and accepted the challenge, so I guess Slater didn't want it. Slater's fearful of the Spirit Squad? Whatever. But Rhino wasn't. Rhino's all man. He's the man. Well, he's all man beast. I don't know. I don't think Rhino. I can't call Rhino all man, can I? He's part man, he's part beast. And the team of Heath Slater and Rhino defeated Mikey and Kenny to retain the SmackDown tag titles. This has got to be it for Spirit Squad, isn't it? I mean, I said, I you know, it's fine. Keep them around to lose to Slater and Rhino. They've done that. It's just the gag is over. It was fun to see them. I'm ready to move on. Doesn't mean you can't do more with Kenny Dykstra if you want to. And hell, for that matter, if you want to do something with Mikey, you can. But the Spirit Squad thrill is gone. And if you just keep them around too much longer, it's just really going to feel like overkill. I mean, we've pretty much reached that point. I don't know what else you do with them now. Coming out of the commercial break, they did show the Vince Lombardi statue outside Lambeau Field. I've taken a picture next to that statue on a couple of occasions, and I will not take a jab at Lambeau Field. Great place to see a game. Absolutely wonderful. The pre-show team checked in and hyped the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view and pimped WWE Network, and I like this because I know they're trying to sell the brand split, and they do it through the authority figures and then the broadcast teams, right? Well, so you don't really want the broadcast team pimping the other brand's pay-per-view. So I have the pre-show, and they cover both shows anyway, so this was a good idea. And I also like the hype. I don't know how many new subscribers you're going to get at this point. I just wonder how many people, like, you know, that are going to sign up for the free thing. But this was kind of unique hype for them. They did let people know that if they signed up now, not only would they, if they were a new subscriber, not only would they get Hell in a Cell free, but they'd also get Survivor Series for free. So, nice little push there. I thought this was effective. Then they went backstage where Ambrose found James Ellsworth hanging his head. He was very sad because Ambrose wouldn't let him be in the corner. And he begged him, and Ambrose ended up agreeing. So Ambrose was once again, the crowd was happy with Ambrose. And again, you know, it's just Ellsworth wanting to be there so badly, it just made you wonder, like, is he up to something? I mean, it makes sense that he wanted to help Ambrose, but, I mean, he was just complete puppy dog from start to finish tonight. I guess with one little thing that we'll get to, and it is time to get to that, actually, was AJ Styles defeating Dean Ambrose by DQ thanks to James Ellsworth's interference. AJ took a couple of swipes at Ellsworth, and very late in the match, he ended up knocking him down. Ellsworth ends up, well, at 19 minutes, Styles goes for his finisher, but Ambrose ended up dumping him to ringside. Ellsworth got all fired up. He was like, Ellsworthing up. And then he's just waiting for Styles to stand up. And when he did, he hit him with No Chin Music, the super kick. I don't think they called it No Chin Music tonight, which is disappointing because that's just a great label for it. And then Ambrose and the referee looked very surprised by this. And the referee just kind of looked at Ambrose, who then started to plead with him, knowing what was coming, and the referee just made it seem like he didn't have a choice. He called for the bell and disqualified Ambrose. And then Ellsworth was, like, immediately remorseful for this. He did not feel good about this, and that carried over to SmackDown. So he had that one moment where he really Ellsworthed up, and then he was back to being complete sad puppy dog on SmackDown and doesn't even know if Dean Ambrose will be his friend, and he wouldn't blame him if he goes at him and all this different stuff. He was really laying it on thick, and it was not the most fun we've had with Ellsworth, but still, I thought good use of him, and I liked the kind of the creative finish that Ellsworth just finally snapped on AJ. He'd had enough. And it was good. I mean, the main event was entertaining. The use of Ellsworth was entertaining. And something to keep in mind if they ever do decide to, if this is kind of like step one toward a James Ellsworth heel turn. I'm just saying, I don't know that it's happening, but I don't put anything past WWE. Keep in mind, this guy just beat AJ Styles in a non-title match. And he has a 2-0 record over AJ, and Dean is stepping in and getting the title shot. So if they ever want to have Ellsworth get a big head, it could be that, how dare Dean Ambrose take what was rightfully his, the next title shot, considering that he beat the champion. So they can do a lot with this. And I'm not saying they're going to go there. I'm just saying my guard is up a little bit for it. A decent show. Again, they're kind of been, it's kind of a tough set of circumstances building to Survivor Series when it's 5-on-5 matches, and everyone on SmackDown is representing the brand. I do have to say one thing tonight that I found very odd. He gave Baron Corbin that big win last week. They had him defeat Jack Swagger, just basically destroy him. And it was played up as this big deal that he beat a former champion. Where was Baron Corbin tonight? Why was he not on the show? Why was there no follow-up? And I'm going to assume he was there. He and Swagger worked at the house show together on Monday night. So unless there's like some, media appearance or something that I'm just not aware of, I don't get it. And even then, you gotta have some form of follow up to this, don't you? So very strange that there was nothing with that. But overall, a fun show, and that's gonna do it for now. Please remember to subscribe to this daily podcast. Take a moment and rate and review us on iTunes if you have an opportunity. Thank you to everybody who's already done that, and thanks to everybody who has also taken a moment to just simply retweet the link when I put it out there on Twitter at ProWrestlingNet. And coming up tomorrow, you guys will be hearing from John Moore. He will be by with the Lucha Underground audio review, so be sure to check back for that. Again, if you remember, you can look forward to .NET Weekly coming up on Thursday. Until then, thanks for listening. Take care.